We've been in a series of sermons about covenant relationships. We are calling it My Life for Yours. We've said that covenant and covenant making is one of the central features of God's character. It's one of the primary ways that God reveals himself to the world. It's through the covenants that he makes. And they give shape to the story of God from Genesis to Revelation. And this week, we're talking about church membership. Yay! Woo! Oh, did you get a thrill up your back? A couple of preliminaries before we talk about the covenant of church membership this morning. Number one, we just want to acknowledge that all of us, including your pastor this morning, when we talk about church, it is clear that most of the time we are talking about a building or a meeting, okay? So we will ask one another, hey, did you go to church this morning? Or how was church? Things like that. When we talk like that, it's clear that, like it or not, we think about the church as a building or a meeting. That happens in my house all the time too, okay? So just so that we're all on the same page and so that we're clear, the Bible never, ever, ever talks about the church as a building or as a meeting, okay? Now, second, when we evaluate churches, it's clear that we think about them as a provider of spiritual goods and services. So inevitably, at my house, every week when we come home, we will ask the question, how was church for you today? And the conversation usually goes to the sermon. That's just my house. Maybe at your house, it's the worship music, or it's the kids program, or something like that. But it's clear, you know, when we talk about church, we think about it as the place where we go to receive spiritual goods and services. So just again, just to clarify, so we're all on the same page as we start, again, in the scriptures, the church is never, ever a provider of spiritual goods and services. In the Bible, the word church always refers to the people, okay? The church always refers to the people, and specifically, when the New Testament uses the word church, it's talking about a local congregation of people. There are a few places in Ephesians and in Colossians where church refers to all Christians in the world at all times, but almost everywhere else, when you see the word church, it's talking about First Baptist Church on Vine Street, Faith Community Church on Carmichael, and so on and so forth. It's talking about local congregations, okay? Everybody got that? All right, now let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you need a Bible, they're under the chairs in front of you. You can find it on page 959. And I'm sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint today, so you will need your Bible to follow along. Everybody got it? 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12, page 959. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, the Apostle Paul has been discussing what are called spiritual gifts, that is, special abilities and passions that the Spirit of God gives to Christians for the sake of their church. And then in verse 12, he says this, "For just as the one body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of the one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Well, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unrepresentable parts we treat with greater modesty, which our more honorable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may all have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. This is the word of the Lord. Let's make just a couple of quick observations about the passage that we just read. There are many, many metaphors that the Bible uses to describe the church. This is one of the most prominent, the metaphor of a body. It's clear, first of all, in verse 24, that God is the one who builds the body, and he does it any way that he wants. God builds local churches, and he brings into them who he wants to be there. And he does it in such a way that there's to be no division, rather, mutual honor and unity. God delights in unity. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says that God's purpose is to bring all things together into Christ. In John chapter 17, Jesus prays that we would be one. Just the way that he and the Father are one, he prays that the church would be one. Now, secondly, we see that we are also all different. Local churches should be as diverse as the community in which they are placed. So a city should be able to look at a church and say, oh, that's what we would look like if we belonged to Jesus. There shouldn't be black churches and white churches, old churches and young churches, hip churches and lame churches, right? Whatever the city looks like, that's what you ought to look like. A church should reflect the ethnic and the age and the gender makeup of the people around it. And Paul illustrates by saying that some of you are hands, some of you are feet, some of you are eyes, some of you are ears, and so on, but you cannot get along without each other. The idea that you can belong to Jesus and not be vitally connected to a local church in the New Testament is as crazy as the thought that you could chop off your hand and everybody would be fine. You would not be. The health of the church, the body, depends on the covenantal love of the members for each other. Now, I was rebuked this week by Kevin in this regard, actually. I was having a conversation with Kevin, our worship leader, about something, discipleship, and I was commenting on how frustrating it is that I can say the same thing to two different people in the same way and get two totally different responses. So I may say to someone, this or that, and they say, oh, thank you. Brother Tim, I needed to hear that today. Thank you so much. And I may say the exact same thing to another person, and they're deeply offended by me. And I was just about to say, literally, the words were about to come out of my mouth, isn't that aggravating? And Kevin interrupts and says, isn't that amazing? And he went on, he said, isn't it amazing the way that God has built the church? That he brings together different kinds of people to show his glory in all kinds of different ways. That there are things I can say to people that you can't. And there are things that you can say to people that I would never get to be able to say. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's when you put it that way. But Kevin is right. God makes his manifold wisdom known through people who don't belong together except in Jesus. God loves to display his glory through the unity of people that the world would ordinarily keep apart. It is amazing. You remember when we were in Revelation, this is just a few weeks ago, one of the observations that we made in Revelation is that we will never get bored with God. Do you remember that? God is infinite, and therefore, throughout all the long ages of eternity, God is never going to cease to be amazing and to show us new things. And in a trillion years, he will still seem bigger than he was the day before. As I left my conversation with Kevin, I thought to myself, that is true of the church. There is no time in eternity when you are going to get tired of each other. Have you thought about that? There is no time in eternity where you will be bored with the church. There are, just in this room right now, 200 stories of God's grace and awesome faithfulness. Just here. And you only know one or two. In the St. Croix Valley, how many stories are there of ways that God found and sought and saved people? Thousands. Thousands. You are going to sit with 13th century African monks in eternity and just be in awe of the way that God found them and called them and brought them to himself. You are never, ever, ever going to get bored with church. There are churches today, not far from here, that worship differently than us. Did you know that? There are churches today within a stone's throw that worship with gospel music. And did you know that gospel music just does something different to you? Did you know that? Now, there are also churches not far from where you're sitting right now who worship through liturgy. I know that some of you grew up with liturgy and you hate liturgy, but listen, okay, adult people. I did not grow up with liturgy. I've been to some liturgical services, and I've thought, wow, this is what they talk about. We make jokes at my church. This is amazing. Deep and true, and they've thought about it for like 1,500 years. And then they talk about it in church. There are people and places and congregations that we don't know yet who have experienced God, who know God in ways that are just a little different than us. And we are never, ever going to get bored in church. Are there any teenagers here this morning? Thank you. If you are bored in church, it's because we're treating it like a meeting. And it is never a meeting. It is people. So if that is true, okay, if the church is the people, how should we evaluate Sunday morning? How should we evaluate when we go to Awana, when we go to the Refuge, when we go to Women in the Word, just whatever, wherever the church is gathered, how should we walk away evaluating that? Well, try this today, okay? When you go home, the question should be not how was the sermon, because it's awesome. We all know it's great. Not how's the sermon, but we should be asking one another, did I bring who I am and all the things that God is doing in me into the church today? In faith. Some of you are in a really hard place this morning. Okay, did you bring that? Did you come that way? Some of you have a gift of encouragement, a gift of teaching, a gift of whatever. Okay, did you bring yourself this morning? Were you ready to be the church together when you came? I'll just share a couple of stories with you real quick. You know, in missional communities now, when we're planting new missional communities, we spend a couple of months actually just sharing our stories with each other. And this last week, it was Richard Devige's turn to share. Is he here this morning? Anyway, I didn't tell him I was talking about him, but it was his turn to share, and he shared his story. And then I was meeting with another friend from the community on Thursday or Friday, and he was just saying how much hearing that story just blew him away. He had no idea that's what Richard's life was, no idea what his story was. He was so deeply encouraged. And what did Richard do? He just showed up as himself. This is who God is, and this is what he's doing in my life. On Wednesday, I was leaving the building here. Awana was just starting to sort of, you know, get set up and everything. And I was leaving the building, and I saw a van in the parking lot, and I recognized one of Caleb's friends from school. And I went out to the van to say hi. And they were waiting for Awana to start. They were having their dinner there in the van. And it was going to be their first time at Awana. It's actually one of their very first interactions with our church. And so we just chatted a little bit. And, you know, I don't know that they were nervous necessarily, but you've all been to new places. You've sent your kids to new places. You know what it's like. And so I left that van Just saying, Lord, please help us be who we are. I just walked by, you know, Diane Bennett and Carolyn Lent were at their table ready to greet kids and register new kids and things, and I just praying, Lord, just help them be who they are. I mean, Carolyn is great. Diane is great. Just help them to be that for these kids. The mom was going to stay. She was just going to hang out in the foyer the whole time Awana was going on. Just saying, Lord, just please make our people like you. Make us hospitable. Help them to notice her, to welcome her, and to love her. Every time you walk into church, well, see, I did it. You don't walk into church because you are the church, right? Every time you gather with the church, you need to come with yourself. Come ready to welcome. Come ready to love. There are people here who've lost loved ones this week. A word from you would go a long way. A hug from you would go a long way. Last week, Darcy came home from worship. See, not from church. She came home from worship. And I asked the question, so how was church today? And she said, you will never guess what happened today out in the whatever this thing is called out here. She said, so-and-so, my friend, I won't say her name, but my friend came up to me, and she put her arm around me, and she said, Darcy, you look good today. And Darcy said, oh, well, thank you. You know? And she said, no, really. I saw you from across the room today, and I thought to myself, Darcy looks good, and I'm going to go tell her as soon as I can. Now, that made my wife's day. Now, maybe that does not seem super spiritual to you, but that is what the church is made to do. Show up as who you are with the gifts that God has given you and minister and build up one another. That's how we should evaluate church, if it's people, not a building or a meeting or whatever. One of the other metaphors, we only have time for two metaphors this morning. We've talked about the church as a body, but the other big metaphor of the New Testament is that the church is a family. If you would turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 3. I just want to read this with you really quickly. Ephesians chapter 3, it's on page 977, if you're using one of the church Bibles. This is what the Apostle Paul writes about the church. This is how he prays for us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more than all we could ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The Bible says that the church, the local church, is a family. The phrase that we use here is it's a family of families. You can see this in Ephesians 1 through 4, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and in 1 John. God is described as the Father from whom every family gets its name. That's a way of saying every family on earth gets its essential character from God. God is the ultimate family, after which all of our families are just a little picture. The astounding testimony of Scripture is that God is a covenant community. God is a covenant community. He is one God, that's totally clear, but he talks to himself in the plural. Let us make man in our image, Genesis chapter 1. And he reveals himself in three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is a covenant community of love, of holiness, of generosity, of humility, of joy. Here's a fun activity for you to try this afternoon. Go home and read John 14 through 17. and try to trace out the relationship between the Father and the Son and the church. It's a lot of fun. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father's in me, and I'm in him, and I only do what he says, and you're in us, and you were his, but now you're mine, and he gave you to me, and you belong to me, but you belong to him, and we all belong to each other. And it's just, there's got to be a song or something, you know, that would go with all that. But the point is that there is a oneness when you become a Christian. It's not just you and Jesus. This whole idea of me and Jesus religion is not biblical. It's welcome to the family. Welcome to the community called God of love and holiness and goodness and hospitality and all these other things. And by the way, it comes with like roughly a billion brothers and sisters. Okay? When we say yes to Jesus, he is bringing us into his family. The word is actually adoption. You are adopted into his family. You were an outsider. He went out and brought you in. Everyone, in the New Testament, everyone in a given region that had been baptized into the name of Jesus was in a covenantal relationship, and everybody understood that. The Bible assumes that you are a covenant member. It's not a question of whether or not you join the church. You just are. This is how it is. To be a Christian is to belong to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why we baptize you into that name. Matthew 28, Jesus commands that you baptize people into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you get married, often the wife will take the name of the husband as though to say, we are one. We're one now. And all the children that come out of this marriage, they belong to us too because they have our name. That's what baptism means, or it's part of what it means. Now, if this is true, if the church is a family and not a meeting or a building or whatever, it means that there's to be a level of care between the members of the church that is familial. There is to be an interest in one another's progress in the gospel. It means that we are to build one another up the way that a family would. Families do not turn one another over to immaturity. There's discipline. There's authority. There's love. There's pleading with each other. There's fighting and reconciliation. I mean, it's all there. And that's what a church is meant to do. If you read all of the one another commands of the New Testament, they're family commands. A covenant community requires that you are known well enough by your peers and by those in authority over you and by the people that you're teaching to follow Jesus. It requires that you're known well enough for all of those things to take place. 1 Peter chapter 5 says that elders are to shepherd the flock under their care. Now, Faith Community Church, if you didn't know, Faith Community Church is an elder-led congregation. There are 13 elders. If you get paid, you're called a pastor, but it's the same thing, okay? 1 Peter 5 says that we are to shepherd the flock under our care. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says that elders are to keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account for you. These are scriptures that keep us awake at night, that are disturbing to us. Twice in the last 2 weeks, I've had conversations with people where I needed to say something semi-hard. And they've said, you don't know me. I said, you're right. I don't. It doesn't mean I get to cop out of this conversation, but you're right. These are the kinds of things that are driving some of the changes, many of the changes that the elders have put into place over the last 4 or 5 years. A lot has changed here. We know that. The changes to the Constitution that we introduced 2 weeks ago, the push to have more people trained in biblical counseling, Tim Porter talked about this last week. Biblical counseling training is basically just how to love one another and help each other grow up in Jesus, but that's too long to put on a brochure or whatever, so they call it biblical counseling training. The planting and building of missional communities. We've added 4 new elders over the last 2 years. All of this is a response to this vision of the church as a family and a body. that needs to be able to care for its members. A covenant membership is just a reality. It's an inescapable reality. You are a covenant member by virtue of what God has done to you. Okay? Nobody got to sign on or off for that. We don't believe that the church has the authority to make covenant members. We don't do that. Only God does that. The church simply affirms it. It's the church's role in the world to look at your life and to look at your testimony and to say to you and to everybody watching and to all the other members, yes, as far as we can tell, this person belongs to Jesus, and they have all the rights and privileges and obligations that come with that. You can go to this person in Jesus' name, and that will mean something to them. That's what the covenant membership process does. It doesn't create anything new. It simply affirms the reality. Now, we have all covenants have a process that come with them, and they have symbols that come with them, and every local church will do it just a little bit differently. This is our process at Faith Community Church, and we want it to be a reflection of what we believe the church is. So we have a two-week course that we ask people to take. It's offered every December and every June or July. I'll post the details online this week. But after the class, if you still want to proceed, you will sit down with an elder and your missional community leader from your area. And they'll ask you to share your story. How did you come to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus to you? They'll answer any doctrinal questions that you have. Okay, so we believe that what creates unity is the Holy Spirit and the teaching of the Scripture. So we'll give you an opportunity to ask any questions you have about our doctrine. We'll give you a chance to answer any questions about policy here that you might have. We'll talk through how we use money here at Faith Community Church. And we're going to talk about your marriage. And we're going to ask you, how's it going with your kids? None of these are disqualifying, by the way. We want to know, how are you growing? What are you learning? What is God doing? We're going to ask you, what do you want to learn in the next 12 months? What is God doing in your life right now? What's he teaching you? What kinds of gifts has he given you for the sake of the church body? If you don't know, that's okay. We just want to know. Who is helping you to grow? Do you have a plan to learn that thing you said you want to learn? And who's going to help you? Can we help you? That's what the conversation is like. If you're serving at Awana or the Refuge, or some place like that, we'll just ask, how's it going? Do you feel like you've got a handle on the gospel so that you can help a kid? If you're in conflict with another member, would you know what to do? Can we help you understand that? That's what the conversation would look like, because that's what we believe covenant requires and what it is. So I want to leave you with four questions this morning for you to reflect on and pray about. And if you would like to come in and talk with us about. The first is this. We really believe that the teaching of the Scripture and the presence of the Spirit is what creates the unity. So the first question is, can you get behind what's taught here at Faith Community Church? So there's like central gospel things, right? Jesus. Then there's like extra things like when we did Revelation, right? We said there's about 1,500 opinions on how this is going to happen. We're not picking one, okay? So if that's a deal breaker for you, we should know. But can you get behind what's taught? That's question number one. The second question is this. Do you want to be a Christian with us? Do you want to be a Christian with us? It is true that every time you meet a Christian, you are meeting family. If you meet a Christian from India or Botswana or wherever, you are meeting family, absolutely. But we cannot express the covenant of Scripture with a billion people, okay? Love is always specific. If you love the church with a capital C, that is about as meaningful as loving women with a capital W or men with a capital M. Well, what's not to love? You know, every 20-year-old man boy who says he loves women has no idea what he's talking about. It is a totally different thing to get up in front of your family and your friends and to say to a woman, I'm going to love this woman, I'm going to love this mess, I'm going to love this drama forever. Those aren't even in the same universe as each other. You should love the church with a capital C. Good for you. But loving a church, loving this mess, loving these people, loving this drama, totally different. And that's what the covenant membership process asks of you. The covenant of Scripture has to be lived out with a people, with these people. And what we're asking is, would you like to be a Christian with us? What we mean is, would you like to do what Scripture talks about with us? Because if you enter into covenant, we're going to probably have a fight. And we're probably going to disappoint you sometime. And we are going to ask you to be a Christian in the midst of that with us. There are going to be times when someone needs to come to you and say, I'm concerned about this thing I see in your life. And the covenant says, you are going to stay because you're a Christian. So that's the question. Would you like to be a Christian with us? My third question, can you come with us as we go? There have been a lot of changes in the last 4 or 5 years. And I want to say, I can say publicly, you're not the only ones wrestling with those changes. The elders are wrestling with these changes too. And we've had a lot of good, hard conversations in the last 2 months. We are all wrestling with the question of how do we be the church? And if you've found yourself wrestling with those things, good. The question is, can you come with us as we try to do this together? We will promise to lead as gently as we know how. You will have to help us lead you gently. We've had a few people come in the last 3 weeks and say, when you talk like this, this is how I feel. Okay, we have to know that. Fourth question, last question. Remember 2 weeks ago, Tim Porter said, if you're considering a mate to marry, you need to ask yourself, do you want to be like that person when you grow up? It's the same with churches. The fourth question is, would you like to be like us when you grow up? Remember, it's been 4 or 5 years now since I came to Faith Community Church, but one of the things that drew me to Faith Community is I heard there was a pastor named Larry who was the senior pastor, and he stepped aside to let someone else lead. And I thought, those are the people I want to be like. I want to grow up to be like that someday. This sermon that you're hearing this morning, I sent to Dan Fosterling before I gave it, because Dan is gentle, and I am not. I want to be like Dan when I grow up, so I can't leave. If I'm going to grow up to be like these people, then I'm going to stay. Would you like to be like us when you grow up? I don't mean me. I mean the people. Look around you. Do you want to be like these people? So, can you get behind what we teach? Do you want to be a Christian with us? Do you want to love us? Do you want to let us know you? And would you know us? Can you follow us and come with us as we go? And do you want to be like us? Because that's what covenant will do to you. Okay? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. All families share meals together as well, and this is our meal. We call it communion. When we take it together, what we are saying is that we belong to each other and we belong to Jesus. Food has a way of uniting people together. Did you know that? All the missional communities that really made it out of the gates were the ones that ate together. That's just an observation. The missional communities that eat together, they stay together. When we share this meal together, what we're saying is we belong to Jesus and we belong to you. If you can participate with us in that this morning, you don't need to be a covenant member to share this meal with us, but you need to be a covenant member with Jesus to share this meal with us. Okay? I'll have the ushers come forward.